Blog Talk Radio.
One night as I was leaving service, I met a young man who asked me to pray for him. He said he was going through and struggling just to make it through each day. I began to share with him that the fact that he was still here was the indication that his situation could be worse. As we began to pray, he got excited and started praising God right there in the parking lot. Well, if you like him today, I want you to listen to this.
You've been saying that you're tired of going through
days.
Seems like everyone else is blessed for you.
In church on Sunday,
preacher telling you your miracle is so good.
But now you're confused because you're
in your time, you're confused because you're ready. So you may not have a match
in a gated neighborhood.
In a gated neighborhood.
But you should be grateful because at least,
but at least you have a roof over your head.
You're looking at the doctor's report.
You say your body needs a healer.
But I want you to know that the healer,
well, the healer is here today.
Oh, I think that you should.
Praise now. It could
be worse.
Be worse.
I know you're going through right now, but I still think that you should praise now.
Complain
about the job that
you don't like. Do your best working
hard?
They don't treat you right. Boss is telling you your raise is coming soon.
But this is what happens.
With no notice, you're laid off.
What do you do?
You've been waiting on your best.
You're still here, so you're already blessed.
Don't you know you're already blessed?
So instead of complaining,
you should thank the Lord.
Just thank the Lord
for what you already have.
Let me be honest today, if it wasn't for
if
Jesus,
it wasn't for
Jesus, please tell me where.
Tell me where.
Away in the midst of what you're going through, can you praise him?
know what it feels like to be in a worse situation. But I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, you called me out for this purpose, yeah. You called me out to be a testimony. You called me out to give you glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is a healing on the way. Praise God Almighty. You just have to believe God. Amen. It's nothing too hard for the Master. Praise God Almighty. God bless you, champions and callers on the line. Amen. I know you're expecting to hear your weekly word workout with Lady T. Praise God. But this is her birthday week. The woman of God has been very busy enjoying the festivities that her children are taking her to. Therefore, she has asked me to fill in tonight. Praise God. I only pray that I can bless you the way that she blesses you. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. We thank God for MCI Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host tonight, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, 1921 Darbytown Road. Praise God. We want to invite you out on Saturdays at 12:30. It's our Sabbath day worship, not Sunday, but Sabbath day. And to God be the glory. We thank God, and we would love to see your face in the place. Amen. God bless you. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm not going to try to replace Lady Butler. Praise God. She has a lot of enthusiasm when she brings forth the word. Glory to God. She brings it with power and the anointing. But I am just going to give a short portion tonight. To God be the glory. Out of the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It's a very familiar scripture. To God be the glory. Amen. Give you time to get there. Amen. I'm just going to do a little teaching tonight. Praise God Almighty. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And the word of God declares, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And the word beseech means to urge you, to plead with you. Beseech means I am making a heartfelt, sincere desire for you to hear me. Beseeching means I want you to not miss what's being said. It's like begging a person to please hear what I'm saying. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What he's letting us understand is, I'm talking to you from a position that you would understand you need to hear it from a mercy standpoint. You don't need to hear it from a judgmental standpoint. You need to hear the mercy of God. For those of you who may not know what mercy means is to have compassion, long-suffering, kindness, and dealing with the situation. He said, I want you to see God from that standpoint that you would see the mercy of God and what I'm about to say. Because most times we don't understand that God deals with us with mercy just as much as he deals with us in grace. Mercy is the act of not giving you what you deserve. Even if you're undeniably wrong. God deals with his people from that standpoint these last days. So he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And I have to stop right there. I have to stop right there. Because he's asking us not only to see God, but to take a position of presentation, that you would present your body. And presenting your body is not just the fact of accepting him as your savior. What he's pleading with is that we would take a more passionate approach in our presentation. Look deeper into the meaning of our presentation. Now, the presentation, one might ask, why did he use that word? Present your body. To present your body is to, in a presentation, it's ceremonial. It's a ceremony that you corroborate, you set the choreography, glory to God, and your presentation. You select what's being presented. When people are doing a presentation, in most cases, it's heartfelt. Glory to God. It's planning. It's a conscious decision of what you feel may be honorable, valid enough for the person you present it to. You see, sometimes we don't really look at what we're presenting to God. And sometimes we don't take deep thought in our spirit of what we're presenting to him. It's kind of like what you see is what you get. Approach to God. And we will not present anything that we feel is costly in most cases. Well, the Bible declares, I will not present anything to God that cost me nothing. When you present something to God, it may cost you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It may cost your time. It may cost effort. It may cost sacrifices. When you present something to God, it just might cost you more than you're willing to present. That's why he said the mercies of God. Because God is a God of love, grace, and mercy. And he understands some things are harder for you to present to him. Some things may take longer to present to him. But nevertheless, he asks for a presentation. You know, I've seen some good presentations in my life. I've seen them roll out the red carpet on Grammy night. Rolling out the red carpet is a form of presentation. They are asking the ones that's being honored that night to walk down the red carpet, which is something they perceive to be honorable. I've seen presentations when kings visit a country. And in their visitation, they want to welcome them to the point that they feel special. They want to welcome them to the point that they feel like glory to God. Hallelujah. There's none more worthy. So when we present to God our bodies, we have to do it, hallelujah, in the mindset and in the form that there's no greater I can present myself to. Somebody might say, oh, no. My husband. I gave myself to my husband. I gave myself to my wife. Gave myself to my job. But those are not as worthy of a presentation as when you give yourself to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Paul says, present your body. Have a parade. Have the bands marching. Have the keyboard playing. Good God Almighty. Praise him on the high-sounding cymbals. Praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the tremble and dance. See, you're setting up an atmosphere, glory to God, that you feel is worthy. I'm not talking about the presentation that your church do every Sunday or Saturday morning. I'm talking, glory to God, about a presentation that you give to God. He said the presentation should be our body. Now, it's amazing, glory to God, that he says that ye present your body. Meaning that, glory to God, everybody's not presenting the same thing to God. He's talking about making it personal. Hallelujah. Presenting your body to your God is a decision and the effort that you put forth. Some people present more than others. Some people see God differently. Some people's relationship with God is different. Therefore, they present themselves in a different manner. But he made it personal. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. That's a hard thing, glory to God. Because whatever you choose to present to God, and whatever you give to God as a sacrifice, he said, a living, hallelujah, present your body as a living sacrifice. Meaning, glory to God, all the time that you're on the altar, all the time that you're spending before God, you are a living, glory, sacrifice. You're not a dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice has lost the ability to choose. A dead sacrifice has lost the ability to have a will. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Glory be to God. A dead sacrifice bound to the altar of God has to accept whatever mutilation, glory, is being done to it. They have to accept the pain because they no longer feel it. They're dead. It's a dead sacrifice. If you take, glory to God, a calf, and you sacrifice it like they did in the Old Testament, the only pain that the calf felt was in the initial presentation of the sacrifice, meaning when it's afflicted. But I want to help us today to let us understand that there's not a one-time affliction in God. Can I take my time and lay this foundation? There's not a one-time tribulation in God. There's not a one-time or one trial that you have to go through in God. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's very possible that you go through trial after trial, that you be in tribulation and come out and go back into tribulation, persecution. Seems like, glory to God, every time I come out of something, I'm coming up to something. It seems like every time I pay a bill, there's three more to be paid. Sometimes it seems like it just never stops. Well, glory to God, in a dead sacrifice, they don't have to worry about that. They feel the initial pain that takes away life. But after that, who's ever sacrificing to God can do anything that they please because the sacrifice no longer can feel it. You can't squirm. It can't get up and run. It can't holler because the very life has been taken out of a dead sacrifice. You know, it's terrible that the animals had to pay so much in the Old Testament. And God, with the loving heart he has, told Moses, you don't have to keep killing the animals. The next one that you kill and present to me on the altar, hallelujah, save the ashes. He told him, just save the ashes. You know, sometimes you can go through such a fiery trial that you feel like you've been totally consumed into ashes. But God blesses. He gives the spirit of joy. He gives the oil of gladness. Halaboshanda. He turned the ashes into praise, hallelujah, and testimonies. So no matter how hot the fire gets, have glory to God. I want to let you know that you can feel the joy. You can feel the praise. You can yet worship, even when it seems you're being burned to ashes. Even when it seems like the trials will never stop. Glory to God. But the animal couldn't. God said, you no longer have to slay the animals on the brazen altar. But this time you take the ashes and remember the cherubim that lord over the mercy seat. Hallelujah. The ashes alone will be a sign of your sacrifice. I'm just teaching tonight. Glory to God. I know the weekly word workout followers are used to that powerful, fiery word from the woman of God. But God's been speaking this since prayer this morning. Hallelujah. What is the value of your sacrifice? What is the value? Can you put a price put a limit on your sacrifice? Is there certain things you just won't give up for God? Are there certain ways that you won't change for God? If it is, that's the value. Whatever you don't want to present to God, hallelujah, is the value. He said, present it. He said he beseech us by the mercy to let you understand there's no criteria. There's no basis upon. There's no category to fit in of what you can sacrifice. There's nothing too bad that you should feel you want to hold on to it yourself. Hallelujah. You want to deal with it yourself. You want to handle it yourself. Most times, things of that nature, we are ashamed and the guilt kicks in and we don't want to go to God with it. Glory to God. Somehow we feel God won't understand. Somehow we feel like God won't have mercy. So therefore, we don't deal with that in prayer. We don't deal with it in worship. Come on, somebody. We don't deal with it when we come before God. Good God Almighty, because we believe, glory to God, certain things I need to work out first. Then I'll give myself to God. Hallelujah. Then I'll present my body to God. Well, I want to help us tonight. That's what that beseeching is. He said, I'm begging you to understand the character of God, the heart of God, the mind of God. It's always in mercy. It's always in finding a way to make it right rather than paying us for the price that we deserve. So he says, present your body. The presentation is what you decide. Now, the living sacrifice is what makes it difficult. Because a living sacrifice, you still have your same mind. A living sacrifice, you still have your same way of thinking. Your same emotions. Your same desires, your same mind, your same memory. So having those tools inside of us makes it harder to be a living sacrifice. If God took all your emotion away, if God took away the way that you feel, the way that you think, your strength level, your memories, your desires, oh, then you can present your body as a living sacrifice. Can I take my time and teach tonight? I watched The Matrix. I'm a devout lover of Matrix. And in the third Matrix, when he found the designer of the programs, hallelujah, told Neo, the problem is choice. When we think about choice, we think it as a blessing, which it is. It is a blessed gift from God to have a self-will, to have choice. And in itself, but if we do not operate choice wisely, it could wind up being a problem. It could wind up getting in the way of your salvation. If we don't use choice wisely, then it could wind up hindering your walk, hindering your predestinated place. Because he says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Meaning that those very tools that I named is still a part of what makes you you. One thing I can say to help us tonight, if you present it to God, hallelujah. If you give it to God, hallelujah. Now all it takes is faith, patience to wait on God. He'll do it every time. He'll fix it for you. But you have to wait on him. So you can present anything to God. You can come to God just as you are, without a plea. And glory to God, he'll make you who he wants you to be. You come without a plea, he'll make you what he wants you to be. If you wait on the Lord, courage. He'll strengthen your soul, your heart. Glory to God. He'll put strength in you that you thought you never had. Glory be to God. He'll take you to places you never thought you could go. He'll take you to heights you never thought that you could soar. But then comes the level of where he'll take you, comes with the level of presentation. What is the value of your sacrifice? Do you just want to add him in to the life that you build? He'll accept it. Glory to God. If you just want to include him on Sunday mornings, he'll accept it. If you, whatever you choose to build. For the Bible declares that no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. It says, if any man build upon that foundation, gold, hay, silver, stubble, whatever you build upon it, it will be known, for the day shall declare it. If whatever you build is not pleasing to God, it'll be burned. Yet, thy soul shall be saved from fire. What are you saying, Bishop? God is not going to architect what you build. God is not going to force us to put everything in this presentation. God is not going to tell you, I won't receive you if you don't lay it all down. The Bible declares that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So when you come to God, he receives us just as we are. No matter how deep in sin, how righteous life we live, we still have to come to God. And whatever the condition may be, God will accept us. But now you need to present your body. You need to build a relationship. You need to base it upon what you're willing, hallelujah, to lay down on the altar. The trouble with a living sacrifice is when you go through trials, when you go through tribulation, when your flesh start talking, when your flesh say, glory to God, I've been leading your life for however many years you are. Now you're telling me you're going to put me before God and lay me down. And the flesh says, I want to live. And your memory called your flesh and touched together and try to drive your mind to obey it. When you present yourself a living sacrifice, that was a decision you made then. But now you must stay in the position of what you presented. A living sacrifice, if someone does do wrong, your mind to say, you don't know who you're messing with. My name is so-and-so. I'm 21 plus. You see? When it don't feel good, when fear kicks in, you'll get up off of that burning altar when it gets hot. And you'll say, wait a minute, Sunday coming, let me jump back on the altar. That's not a presentation. That hasn't been given, hasn't been laid before him. Glory to God. When he says, I beseech you, he's talking about a presentation, hallelujah, that you can't take back. Can I just teach tonight? The Bible declares that it's better not to make a presentation, a vow. It's better not to make a vow than to make it, come on somebody, and take it back. When you do a presentation, you can't take it back. Now, God didn't say it's better not to make a vow and don't do it. He didn't say, oh, well, you made a vow, but you didn't carry it out. He's not saying if you make a vow that you have to dot every I and every T. Hallelujah. But what he is saying, you can't make a vow and take it back. What are you saying, Bishop? That once you make a vow, once you make a presentation, glory be to God, if things get in your way, if things seem hard, if things are going wrong, glory to God, you have to deal with that. But he'll be there to help you deal with it if you don't take it back. See? Taking it back means to totally take a whole different position. To regress. To backslide. That's where they get these words from. Because once you take it back, you're telling God, I wish I never presented this to you. I hear Christians say, I was better off in the world. How could they make that statement? Oh, I wish I never got saved. How could they make a statement like that? You're taking back your presentation. When there's a roadblock in the way, and you may take a different road, a different street, you're not taking back the presentation. You might make the road longer. You might make your road harder. You may miss some of the blessings that was on your road. But don't take back the presentation. He said, present your body, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What he's saying there, that if there's a true connection, if there's a true presentation, if there's a true relationship, it's reasonable. It's a reasonable sacrifice. God is not asking you to be a martyr. He's not asking you to give him your left arm and your right toe. He's not asking for blood. He's asking for your reasonable service. You can stumble in your reasonable service. You can be perfected that you never stumble. But what he's talking about is the presentation, what you decided, I'm going to give it to God. It's nothing you can give to God that is not reasonable, not deserving. He deserves our best. He deserves the glory. He deserves us to believe in him, to trust him, glory to God, to yearn for him. It's your reasonable service. Now, after he says that, he tries to help us. He tries to give us a revelatory knowledge that would make it easy not to take back whatever you presented. He shifts and starts giving us the route, the way that will make your presentation sealed. Can I put it like this? Maybe you understand it better this way. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, say it this way. Way before the presentation, when you come to God, God does two things. He wakes up your spirit. You have he quickened, brought alive. Wakes up your spirit, and then he translates your soul. Things God do for every man. Two things for every man. Paul received the revelation here in Romans 12 to give us two things that we must do. I know they say, if you make one step, God make two. No, I'm not saying all that. And I'm not saying you got to match God with what he do, because we could never match him. He sent his son. But in this aspect, he does two things when you come to him. Paul is telling us we must do two things. God saves the soul, bring life to the spirit. We have to present the third part of man, your body. And the fourth part is your mind. Can I just teach on the presentation tonight? He said, present your body, which is your reasonable service. Then he talks about conditioning your mind. When God does the waking up of the soul, of the spirit, and the translation of the soul, if we present our bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, if we take on the mind of Christ, if we let this mind be in us, hallelujah, that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the two things that we must do. Present our bodies and transform our mind. When he says, be not conformed to this world, he's talking about adapting to certain things that God is not with. It doesn't matter if the government with it. Doesn't matter if organizations is with it. If God is not with it, then it's a conformity of the world. So he says, change what you're conformed to, because that's what's feeding your memory. What you are conformed to is what's feeding your flesh. Hallelujah. Whatever you conform to is what's feeding your emotions. It's your way of thinking. It's what you want to feel, what you believe is a good feeling, what you believe is not a good feeling. These are things that the world conforms. How you perceive things. He said, let it go. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Like he transformed our soul from darkness to light, he's saying transform the way we think, the way we feel, the way we deal with things. That is a transformation. How? By the renewing of our minds. If we thought the way God wants us to think, the way we grew up thinking was acceptable and reasonable, then he wouldn't say renew. Renew means to start over, to begin. And when God accepts us, when we come to him, some things have to start all over. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Those things of Christ who have reconciled us to himself. Come on, somebody. Things that have to occur. And Paul begging us, beseeching us by the mercies of God. Be formed to the things of the world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He's not doing that because he's a dictator. He's doing that because of the next verse. He's saying, if you do your two things, ha, glory to God, after I've done my two things, then you can prove what is. Ha, glory to God. You can show what is. You can live what is. What is he saying that we can prove? That which is good. Perfect. Good, acceptable. And the perfect will of God. Can I pause right here for a second? Because I'm not ashamed to say I used to teach that verse very different. In my earlier days, I used to teach that there is a good, there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God. But how many know that that's not what God is saying? There are not three different wills. Come on, somebody heard me. I said there's not three different wills of God. There's not a good will of God, an acceptable will of God, a perfect will of God. That's not what Paul's saying. The will of God is the will of God. And the will of God is good. It is acceptable. Come on, somebody hear me today. I said the will of God is good. It is acceptable. It is perfect. It's not three different wills of God. And the only way we can prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect is when we give it to God. Come on, somebody. I said when we give it to God. The burden is too heavy for you. The situation is too pressing for you. Give it to God. We're not smart enough to not give it to God. We're not strong enough to not give it to God. If you want to see the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, you have to give it all to him. I'm not saying you have to perfect it all. God, you can. And with God, you will. Hallelujah. But the first thing you got to do is give it to God. Not think about it. Not try to do it yourself. Oh, I'm going sooner or later. No, give it to God. Do a presentation today. Do a presentation in your heart. Deep down in your soul. Good God Almighty, go down in prayer and say, God, if there's anything that I haven't given to you yet, good God Almighty, I give it to you this day. I lay it before your feet this day. I bring it to your altar this day. Good God Almighty, glory be to God. Even if you're not delivered over it, even if you don't have power over it, even if fear kicks in and faith try to rise, give it to God. Hey, glory to God. Because just giving it to him makes it perfect. Giving it to him makes it acceptable. Giving it to him makes it good. And you can prove that which is good, perfect, and the acceptable will of God. Now, the next verse is very important. Because he's trying to tell us at this point, don't let self override the position that you put yourself in with God. Because whatever you give to God, the enemy cannot stop it. He has no dominion over us. He can't force us to take it back. Oh, come on, somebody. He can't bogart and take it back. But what he can and will do is trick you into taking it back. Huh, glory to God. He'll get in your mind and tell you to take it back. God does not restrict him from our mind, because we would be robots. We wouldn't have the blessing of choice. We wouldn't have a will. If God out of it, then we're not making a choice. Huh, come on, somebody. So he goes on and tells us the key to the only thing that would make you take back your presentation. And that's self. Paul says that I'm speaking this to you through the grace given unto me. That every man that's here, that every man that read it, every man that see it, that they not to think more highly of their self than they ought to think. I'm closing out right now today, God. Pray, God, you got something out of this. Hallelujah to God. He said, being that your soul is secured, hallelujah, your spirit can receive messages from me, from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You presented your body. The only thing that's going to take that presentation back, if you don't conform your mind, if you don't take on the mind of Christ, if you let your mind make decisions. He was letting us understand that it's in the way you think. If you think something means something to you, it becomes more valuable. If you think something ain't that important, it's less valuable. But it's how you think. Hear me, champions. It's how you think. So he says, don't think, ha, glory, more highly of yourself. He's not saying don't have confidence. He's not saying don't have boldness. He's not saying don't speak those things that be not as though they were. He says keep it in proper perspective of who you are and our relationship. Because if you present this to me and you're before me and the Holy Spirit is guiding you, you have no worries. Unless you start fantasizing and daydreaming, start thinking you so high because your life has changed. You so high because you got gifts. You recognize you got gifts now. You learn a few scriptures. You blessed a few people. He used you to lay hands and heal somebody. Now you ready to think too high. He's not saying think low. But don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Praise God Almighty till you hear me, champion. Don't think more highly than you ought. But think soberly. Think sober according to the measure of faith that you have, according to the measure of faith that he released in you. Walk in that. Think in that. Grow in that. And never take back your vow. Never take back your presentation. For God receives your honor and your sacrifice. Amen. God bless you, champions. God bless you, MCI hearers. We pray that you enjoyed the word tonight. Praise God. I've stood in for my lovely wife. Amen. It's her birthday season, and I told her to go ahead. They have a lot of things they are doing for her, and she deserves a break. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Tune in Friday night. Praise God. Come back for morning worship Sunday morning here at MCI Blog Talk Radio, where you will receive a word. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, 1921 Darby Town Road, Henrico, Virginia. Sharpening you up to be a champion through the word of God. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. God bless you. Love you, Lady T. Will be back next Wednesday. Tune in and be blessed. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name.